And welcome, Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. It's a Wednesday. Tyler Hayward's with me from Trouble with the Snap Podcast. We got quite the show on for you guys today. Obviously, we'll talk women's basketball versus men's. The discrepancy, obviously, there and with certain items and things that the women want more, which is rightfully so, a good conversation to have, and me and Tyler will have it. It's been huge, national media, social media. We will touch on that momentarily. We won't get into that right away. We'll talk a little bit more March Madness stuff, Michigan and Michigan State. And we'll dive a little bit into spring football. We got a lot on the show today, again, on the Lab Life and Ball Podcast. Tyler, thanks for joining me. Love it when you're on this side of things as my color guy. Look, let's, before we get into the main stuff, look, I want to give a shout out to the U of M women's team, because first time ever making the Sweet 16, which is amazing. Naz Hillman, if anyone watches her play for the U of M women's basketball team, she's amazing. All-time single game scoring leader with 50 points in a game this year. That's men's and women's, by the way. And that's amazing. So shout out to them. They've been fantastic this year. Michigan State, Tyler, Michigan State just lost, right? They lost second round women's side.
Yep. Nia Cloudon and the Spartans, they ended up falling to Iowa State. And, I mean, it was just one of those games. Free throws mattered. And, I mean, it is what it is, you know. Rough year, but it's good to see the women, for the most part, kind of regain a little bit of traction that they lost since they won a Big Ten championship a few years ago under Susie Merchant.
Yeah, I mean, that program has been really good. And look, one of the best games I ever attended was a 2005 game between Michigan State and the Ohio State women's program. Marcella Packer, a woman I knew that she played for Ohio State, she throws a lob pass to their center, wins at the buzzer. That Breslin Center crowd, which was packed, by the way, for that game, went completely silent. I didn't know if I was happy. Like, I was happy that Pack threw a great pass, but Ohio State winning didn't make me super thrilled. sorry, Ohio State fan. But no, it's just a lot of really good, great women's players that I've seen and I've actually been fortunate enough to work with. We'll get on the women's side quick.
No, that 2005 team, though, for Michigan State was legitimate. You know, they went to the Final Four that year, because I was actually down in New Orleans watching Michigan State just run Tennessee off the floor.
They were great that year. I mean, Lindsey Bowen is someone I actually worked with. We had a drill where she passed me the ball at half court. It was a full court drill. We did this at Western. She would throw it to me, sprint full court, catch, 1-2, shoot. And she made 15 in a row. It was ridiculous from three. Just a great shooter. So she was fantastic. Look, a lot of really good women's players. We are going to get into the women's side. Let's talk real quick, Tyler, before we get into the fun stuff of the show, because I think it's going to be enlightening when we talk about today. Michigan, obviously, Sweet 16. We've talked a lot about the programs. And look, you know, it's fun to give it to each other a little bit as far as some trash talk. And I made a post, obviously, that Tyler was probably like hating. But the whole point of the post, really, for me, besides the trash talk, of course, was Michigan and Michigan State have both been so good in men's basketball in the last, I would say, for sure, 8 years, but really 10 years, because Michigan has had a couple times where they played well in the tournament before they started making bigger runs. Let's talk about that, because I don't think people realize it. I really don't. John Beilein promoted it as much as anybody. How he had mentioned, you know, he thought this rivalry was as good or better than any in college basketball, for sure in-state rivalry, and it almost mirrored Duke, North Carolina. Are you on that track too, or is it one of those things where you're like, yeah, still some work to be done?
No, I'm absolutely on that track. I mean, you look at it, Michigan State was primed for a Big Ten, was primed for a national championship run last year before COVID shut everything down. Michigan split. They were not as good as Michigan State. They might not have even made the tournament last year. You know, and I talked to you a little bit, like, one game against Rutgers would have decided if they made the tournament or not, probably. And, you know, yeah. Rutgers was the 8 seed, Michigan was the 9 seed. They were on the bubble, and it was questionable if they were going to get in, but they still split with Michigan State. You look at this year's group, this is Tom Izzo's worst season really since Mateen Cleave started taking over. you could at least go back. Otherwise, I mean, if it's not that, it's 2007, where Drew Neitzel and kind of carried the load like Aaron Henry does. But Michigan State and Michigan split this year too. And so, yeah, I absolutely think it is. And I think it's only amplified by the fact that you have the rivalry in football as well. I think this is the greatest rivalry in college sports. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. But having both of those schools good, because even when Michigan had Brady Hoke, look, they were okay. You know, it's not like they were complete gutter trash. And then you looked at, you know, 2015, I think, was kind of the epitome of, you know, having two quality programs in state. 2017 was a good year as well for football. But having it in football and basketball, with those two being the primary revenue sports, and we'll kind of, you know, dance around that concept later, having them be rivals in both, I think it makes it the greatest rivalry in college sports, because Duke, North Carolina, no one cares about that football game. No offense.
Right.
Nobody gives a crap about, you know, Mitch Trubisky or Julius Peppers or Daniel Jones. That's pretty much all the play. That's literally all the players I can name from either of those schools right now. And I mean, I'm sure there's a couple quality kids from, oh crap, never mind. Eric Ebron went there too. Huh. I guess I dropped.
Oh gosh, don't.
I dropped.
Oh yeah,
my bad.
Oh, don't go there.
Oh, the puns are rolling.
Not today.
But I mean, those are the players that I know. I can't name any other players. I think there's a couple good offensive linemen from Duke that are currently in the NFL and stuff, and so it's just not that big of a deal. It is with Michigan and Michigan State. It carries over to basketball, and I think the level of respect that Izzo and Beilein had for each other amplified it a little bit too. Yeah, I absolutely agree with Beilein. This is not just the best rivalry in college basketball, it's the best rivalry in college sports.
Yeah, when you combine both, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Look, and what I had talked about is I wanted to amplify the success of Michigan because, of course, I'm a Michigan fan. But number two, I think what it says a lot about is they had to get to that standard that's winning like Michigan State. So the last two Final Fours, look, we got Michigan State and Michigan in the last two. Last year, if COVID doesn't happen, we probably have 3 years in a row because Michigan State was rolling. And you don't know. I mean, Michigan could have made another Sweet 16 run, possibly. I mean, they were still kind of clicking. They were sort of like Michigan State this year. Right. You know, they're 19-12. They split the Big Ten, 10-10. So it's like, yeah, they're bubble for sure. Especially in a full season. When you only win 19 in a full season, it matters. Especially when you split your conference. But they were playing well, Tyler, because they started off 2-6. And they started rolling there, you know, winning, 8 out of the last 12. So they're kind of like Michigan State. And they did beat Michigan State at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some similarities there where maybe...
I say if they make the tournament, but it's like, me personally, I would have had them in, given the strength of the conference. I would have had them in. Of course, I wasn't rooting for that, though, because you root for the failure of your rival. It is what it is. So... But that being unbiased, yeah, they should have been in the tournament, win or lose, as long as they kept it competitive against Rutgers.
Certainly. And I also think that, like I said, they had a great start to last year. And they did, you know, I know Gonzaga was a little shorthanded, but they did beat them. North Carolina's win doesn't matter because they were horrible last year. But they did have some big wins, and they were rolling a little bit at the end. So we don't know. We have no answer to that question, like what could have happened last year. We just think this is what probably would have happened. Michigan State was a very, very good chance of them making the Final Four. So the point of the matter is, look, both programs have been great. You know, Michigan's had, what, 4 years in a row now making the Sweet 16. I know Michigan State fans love to go at that. But look, for Michigan basketball, this is how I see it, Tyler. This was a terrible program. This was a bad program. And John Beilein's first 4 years were not very good. They finally started clicking in 2011. They get rolling a little bit. And they get to the tournament. I think 2010 was the year they lost to Duke, I believe. Maybe it was 11. I'd have to, you know, I didn't have this on deck today, but just spitballing it. They were getting better in the 2010s era. They start rolling. They share the conference with Michigan State in 12. the rest is history. 13, they go all the way to the national championship game. And in 14, Michigan State, Michigan both were one game away from, number one, Michigan State not playing terrible. And if the Harrison twin doesn't hit the three, Michigan might be in back-to-back Final Fours. So this is two programs for a while now that have been really good, and they're always in the discussion. And I think it's great for this state, because as bad as our pro sports teams are, it's really nice when you can depend on Michigan State and Michigan to do pretty well in March for the most part. And I'm excited about the future, because Michigan's got great kids coming. Michigan State has great kids coming. And it's going to be a lot of things for us to talk about in the next few years, many years to come. And I think football is heading in the right direction as well, because I think Michigan State, I will say this, I do think Mel Tucker is doing a really good job. We're not going to talk too much about spring today. We'll end on it. But I do think Mel Tucker is making some noise with recruiting and grad, or not grad transfers, but transfer portal. And Michigan, obviously, of course, is always recruiting well. So, look, we got a lot of really good things to talk about. Let's get to the tough stuff. I mean, obviously, Tyler and I had talked off air about this. This is something that is a difficult conversation, but it's something we have to talk about. And that's the women's basketball conversation. And obviously, a lot of women, whether it's players or coaches, have been very disappointed, whether it's the grab bag not being much compared to the men's, whether it's the weight room being pretty much nothing. Tyler, I'll let you start, but I'm going to kind of, you know, feed this to you. I think there's a lot of things we can discuss here. My main concern is, what can we do to change it? I don't want to sit here and complain. I want to have a solution. Is there a couple things you think could change that, where, okay, women's basketball could be a little more prominent as far as monies, certain funding, more opportunities, more, yes, items that they can get and receive by making the NCAA tournament, which is a huge accomplishment. What are a few things you think could really kind of move this thing forward?
Look, ultimately, I think it would need to, I don't think there's much that sponsors and, you know, the corporation that is the NCAA can legitimately do. I think it kind of falls on the shoulders of the school in regards to pushing certain product. Ultimately, though, you do have a finite amount for marketing and certain things like that, and you invest, and this is kind of what I talked about, you invest in the programs that you see the highest return on. And unfortunately, you don't see that high of a return on women's basketball. So the only thing that would really need to change is fan interest. And I mean, it was something that you and I, we kind of text about really quick. You know, we didn't really talk about it too much. Look, Draymond Green is a loud, arrogant douchebag. You know, so when he comes out there and he trots out statements like, I'm the best defender of all time. All right, first off, pump your brakes. I might give you versatile. I'm not going to give you best defender of all time. Right. I might give you versatile, but you're competing with Dennis Rodman for that. Only thing is I think Green could play point guards a little bit better, because Rodman never had to, because the best players were not the point guards like they are nowadays. They were the wings or the centers. And so Rodman just never guarded the point guard. And so I think that kind of hindered that. And so I might give Green versatile. But when he makes statements like that, but then he comes out and he makes a statement like he does saying, oh, I watch the WNBA more than the NBA because it's more fundamentally sound, better screens, better passing, better sets, and things like that. People just think he's an idiot because of other statements like that. And I think that this is one of the things that we miss with Kobe being gone, is because Kobe was getting ready to pour his soul into it like he does everything else. You know, with his daughter, who, you know, unfortunately was on that helicopter with him. And I think that when you get a push like that from a guy like that, who's obviously, you know, he comes with his fair share of incidents, so to speak, historically speaking, but he's so well respected in regard to basketball, his thought, his competitiveness, and everything else. I think that that would have obviously help that fan interest.
No, there's no question. Like, you know, number one, I'm going to get into the corporate stuff in real quick, but I think the NBA players have done a really good job. I think they've shouted out the WNBA at a very high level. Now, I know that they also, Steph Curry was very loud about the fact of the women's issues in the NCAA. So at least that there's people kind of having that conversation. But it's crazy because, look, it's easy to not today with the world of the internet to click at something and to type in basketball, NCAA basketball corporate sponsorship, right? And I put women's NCAA corporate sponsorship, nothing popped up. And look, there's corporate sponsorship, I get it. But when you type that in and you Google that, and the first thing that pops up is the champions list of corporate sponsorship, and it's only directed towards the men's, and quite boldly in print says only men's basketball. I mean, I got a list of the sponsorship, Pat. I mean, we see it every day when we watch men's basketball. I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings, Buick, Geico. Ooh, great clips. Get a nice
order letters.
Affleck, AT&T, yeah, Coca-Cola. I don't know if it's Warner Ladders anymore because it's Lowe's. Lowe's probably has the ladder now. Invesco, they're probably putting tons of money in. Marriott, Bavoy, I mean, Wendy's, Uber Eats, Pizza Hut, Nissan. I mean, this is a nonstop money train full of corporate sponsorship that if they are involved with women's basketball, it's certainly not being blasted out there. And I think that that's our huge problem. And I told you this off air. We've got to find a way, if you're on the women's side, and it's one thing the coach is upset and saying where they're upset, and they said it's been going on for a long time, right? There's got to be a new way, a new sponsorship. And I just think the people that are saying all the things, there's got to be someone out there that has the money that's going to start funding women's NCAA basketball. By the way, they're not even putting March Madness on the women's side. I mean, they're taking that completely out because the NCAA says, well, that's March Madness. That's our moneymaker for men's, and we're just not even going to put it on the women's. If you're a woman and you see that, you can be upset, very disappointed, but the bottom line is you got to find new inventive sponsorship, and you have to find different people to reach out to. And also, people are going to have to put their money where their mouth is. I mean, I know that's hard to say. Like, I don't have the money to do it. I can admit that. But I'll tell you what. I mean, if I did, I have a daughter. Like, Kobe was doing some great things. Rest in peace to him. It's so sad because I think he was doing great things for women's basketball. But when you look at that list, Tyler, or if you even Google something, and there's nothing out there to really enhance and show corporate sponsorship, that's a major league problem for women's basketball. And I don't think it's as easy as saying, look at the NCAA, what a bunch of jerks. It's way bigger than that. Because Turner TV, CBS Sports has this major connection with all these sponsors with men's only basketball. And ESPN, look, I know they have sponsors for women's and stuff. And another thing is the time of the games. I mean, I'm almost positive, look, a women's game's on and half the time I don't even know. And there's so many things that need to be done to promote the game more. And there's got to be more money put into it. Because if you don't do that, there's just no way. I mean, we're in a world now, Tyler, where NCAA has backlash and lawsuits nonstop when it comes to likeness and image on the men's side. Men wanting to get paid for their services because it's a billion-dollar business. And it's not doable. We've talked about it. It's just not. We will end on that. It's not going to happen. These are lawsuits that never work, that never come out, and there's nothing that's changed. Because that word amateurism will always succeed in the end. And in a way, I'm 50-50, rightfully so in some ways. You know, when you're getting all this different money spent on tuition and all this, that's part of it. You got to be understanding of that. But look, the bottom line is I think women's basketball, there's got to be new sponsorship. There's got to be new people willing to throw their money. And yeah, oh, by the way, this is not a knock on LeBron James, by the way. But I don't see LeBron James buying the WNBA team. Yeah. I don't see LeBron James or anyone like that funding women's basketball. And those are the
I think you're absolutely right. It's a put your money where your mouth is situation. If you got the money and you're advocating for it, yeah, definitely. Now, my issue, because there was a couple things you said. One, March Madness. That is coined. That phrase is owned by CBS. And that is something that they're obviously going to push more towards the men's. And that's more or less just because of the upsets that happen. You look at a women's tournament, that's mostly talk.
It's a contract too. March Madness.
You look at the women's, though, those brackets are normally chalk for the most part. And when you there's less parity in women's basketball, but and so I do kind of understand that. Now, in regards to sponsor stuff, look, I didn't know Iowa was playing last night. I didn't. Iowa was really good, by the way. Some of the best players in the country, as they'll get UConn coming up next. That's going to be a phenomenal watch, I think. Still think UConn wins, so. But when you look at what the women's game brings in, it does not bring in what the men's game brings in, and I think that's why you're not seeing that push out for that money. You're not seeing those sponsors jump on it because it's just not the draw. I was working as a I was working as a producer down here in South Bend for a local radio show covering Notre Dame, and we, by the way, they talk football 365 down here on the show.
Right.
Or 365 minus however many weekend days they are. They talk about Notre Dame football every day. But they were covering the men's team,
mm-hmm.
who, middle of the pack, ACC, I think, at the time, just not very good. And I get a phone call from somebody while I'm sitting in my little producer hole and behind the glass and everything else. And she goes, Notre Dame's men aren't any good, but the women are killing it. Why aren't you talking about them? Well, the reason you don't talk about them is because the second you start, radio's turned off. And like I said, it's a fan interest thing. And I think what you need to do is you need to push locally for that fan interest before you decide to look at the national picture. The NCAA can definitely help, but there needs to be local pushing for that. Michigan State needs to come out, and they need to push Susie Merchant and Nia Clouden next year. They need to make those pushes. And I just use that as an example, but that's how it is, you know, it starts locally, and it's no different with our shows. Well, why do we do these? Oh, well, you do this to reach a basketball population. For us, it's Michigan and Michigan State. We post these in Michigan State and Michigan groups. We do not post these in national groups because national groups don't give a crap about that. And so you start local and you work your way bigger. And that's what needs to happen. So it starts at the school level. Sponsors aren't going to pay for jack if nobody else is putting in the effort.
Well, is that absolutely? I mean, I'm not a huge ESPN fan, obviously, but they've done a decent job, I will say, of promoting the women's player a little more. Obviously, that they have the rights to the women's teams and players too, and that's what always kills me is people don't realize that the TV has the rights to all of this. You know, when you look at sponsorship on the men's side, I mean, it's Turner Sports and CBS Sports. Anytime you go to their page as far as champion corporate sponsorship, you're reaching out to Turner Sports and CBS Sports, and then they have below that the actual NCAA number, and they have the numbers who you can reach out to, who you can email. But the first line of contact is the television. You know, it's TV rights. So ESPN obviously is going to do a little bit of their due diligence and promote the women's player, which they have to do, and they must do, because that isn't fair if you're going to be using the women now and televising their games, and you don't talk about them at all. Because you got to know who's playing, and you got to know who's good and what players are good, who's coaching. And they've done a pretty good job. I mean, I think they could do a better job, but we could probably say that about everything. But look, the debate's tough. It's not an easy conversation. But bottom line is, you can't do the same thing the men do when it comes to certain sponsorship, because those sponsorships are not only caring about men's basketball, they're contracted that way. Like, they are in a contract for Turner Sports and CBS Sports, who televise men's tournament basketball. They do not televise women's basketball. So, you know, that's just how it goes. And that's a frustrating thing to hear for most people. I'd say it's even frustrating for me, but that's the bottom line. Those are facts. You know, and common sense is enlightening. I say that to Tyler all the time. Common sense is quite enlightening. That's the common sense aspect. Corporate sponsorship is diving in, you know, sending millions of dollars to men's basketball. You're not getting that on the women's side. but it's not being promoted correctly either. And you're going to have somebody who has a face, like a Kobe, who's going to reach out to people and put their life and soul into that sport, which is women's basketball. And until that happens, this is just a non-productive debate. And me and you could debate. I mean, I could sit here all day and say, this isn't fair. Women's basketball needs more this, more that. But that's not what's going to do it.
You know, and that's the thing, is they're not getting the return on it. And, you know, it kind of goes along with the women's soccer team debate. You know, they wanted equal pay as the men. They were like, well, the men suck and we're World Cup champions year after year, or 4 years after 4 years, whatever it may be. But when you go and you actually look at the numbers, the men, their paychecks are actually more than the women, and the women want the equal paychecks. The thing is the men's revenue is higher than the women's revenue. Fact of the matter, I don't remember where I looked this up. I looked it up like 2 years ago, though, maybe a year ago. The U.S. women's soccer team make a higher percentage than the men. If you want equality, and unfortunately, you're touting it as equality. That's not the case, though. If you want equality, you'll take a pay cut because you make a higher percentage than the men do of the revenue that is brought in. And that's the problem, is women sports just do not bring in the revenue that men's sports do. It's not an issue of equality. It's not an issue of men are better than women. That's not the case. You know, you sent me a video from somebody, I don't even remember who it was saying, oh, well, you're just saying men are better. You know, tell your daughter that. I'm never going to tell my daughter that men are not better than women. I'm never going to tell my daughter that. What I'm going to tell my daughter is if she wants, you know, the weight room of the men, which I think that was the big thing that kind of got this whole ball rolling. If she wants the weight room of the men, earn it. You know, go out and make a name for yourself and earn it. Women's basketball players, sorry, I don't know any names. I know Kate Cunningham. I've not watched an Oklahoma State game this year. You know what I mean? I cannot name a women's basketball player outside of Nia Claudin, unfortunately. And I'm a Michigan State fan, and I've actually watched a couple of the women's games this year. That it is what it is, because they it just doesn't bring the money in, and so no one's willing to invest in it. Because what the lady in that video was saying is, oh, are you going to tell her when she's dating, you can tell your daughter when she's dating a man that her opinion's not valid because she's a woman. I'm like, no, what I'm going to tell her is if that man does not have any value, to dump him. And unfortunately, right now, women's sports does not have that value that men's sports do. And that's why they do not see the extra perks. You don't see, I mean, what did you say you got? Like 2 towels and 3 t-shirts and a watch or something like that when you made the tournament at Western Michigan? Yeah. And obviously, that's amplified a little bit more. The women are probably getting that now. But that was because in 2004, a lot more people watched the NCAA men's tournament as opposed to the women. And so it's just one of those situations. Like I said, it's fan interest. You don't need sponsorships in anything like that, because the first step is fan interest. You get fans interested, you're going to get people who have a little bit of money, like United Wholesale Mortgage and Matt Ishbia, to be like, gosh, you know what? If Rocket Mortgage is doing the men's, maybe I can come out here and I can push the women's. And I can kind of have that competitiveness. But he's not going to put his money into that when he's not going to see, you know, the growth in his own income as well.
Certainly. No, these are points, and look, it's always a tough conversation because in today's society, we always want to debate. And this isn't a debate show. Tyler and I, we always want to find a solution. So even when we're trash talking to each other about Michigan State, there's a solution behind the matter. This isn't a spout out the mouth for no reason show. That's just not what we do on the lab or Trouble with the Snap. I'll say this. Here's the problem. Now, us as men, we can do a better job, certainly, of promoting the women's game. I mentioned that to her name is Rebecca Harris, who played at Illinois, and she's a huge advocate on change in women's sports, which I totally agree with. And I made a great statement to her, and it just kind of came out. I said, you know, I need to dive in more. Like, I need to watch their game more, know the players more, and speak on it. Sharing, liking something, commenting it, pushing it out there is a great thing. You know, when Naz Hillman scores 50 points, I mean, you have these things, because these women work very hard, just as hard as men do, sometimes more. I've had girls that I've trained, they work harder than sometimes. I mean, it's great basketball. That duty, something we could absolutely, but the bottom line, talk business. It's a great statement off air about when you put your money into something, you're expecting it. And that's the big thing. Like you said, you made a great statement. If you don't do the business, your church building fund. That's where we have a problem, because Capital One is donating their money to men's basketball. I don't think that they're touching the women's side. This is my point.
And so, to get someone like Capital One on board, you have to have that fan interest, because, you know, the more fans there are in tune to the game, that means the viewership of your commercial is going to go up. That viewership goes up, you know, you're going to sit there and you're going to see Charles Barkley, Spike Lee, Jim Nance, and Sam Jackson, you know, not swearing, which, by the way, I think that's a hilarious group to not have swear during a commercial. You're going to see them not swearing during a women's basketball game. And now you're going to see Capital One every time you watch the women's Sweet 16 or the women's Elite Eight or the women's Final Four and stuff like that. But the thing is you're not going to have Capital One push out for that if you're not getting people to watch the product to begin with. And so, like I said, you have to start locally. We don't push our Trouble with the Snap podcast out nationally. We post it to Michigan State groups, not college football groups. We post it to Michigan groups, not college basketball groups, because they don't have an interest in it.
You push it to
the people who want to hear about it. People, generally speaking, do not want to hear about women's sports. And like I said, Notre Dame used to be really, really good down here. Even as of 2 years ago, they were really, really good. I was having a conversation with somebody about Muffet McGraw, how she's done coaching. That came up the other day. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, you notice how once she left, they got bad. They weren't bad the last year she was there, but you don't remember that. It was 1 year ago. You know, she was. Right. I literally remember turning on the radio station and hearing clips of her press conference, and she literally cried after about four or five games. They were doing that bad. Like, it was not pretty.
Yeah.
And no. I think that's ultimately why she stepped down. Now, is it Jaden Ivey from Purdue? His mom is there, and they're mm-hmm. struggling, and they're like, oh, this is on her. But the thing is nobody looked at Notre Dame women's basketball to see Muffet McGraw on the sideline crying at the end of her last season.
Yeah, it wasn't.
They didn't care because they weren't as good as when they had Skylar Diggins and the like of that. You know, those incredible female basketball players at Notre Dame just killing it regularly and competing with Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much we can talk about with this. Like, you know, there was a huge deal, like it was blasted out there on social media when Shaquille and Candace, don't you think that maybe lowering the rim would be something? And it became so offensive, right? It was so offensive to say that. And that's why I'm 50-50, man. I'm in the gray area. And look, I just think if we're trying to make solutions, you can't be offended. Now, if I'm you can be like, wow, you're a pig and you're chauvinistic. But if I'm trying to come out and make a solution and just ideas, I'm just spitballing ideas. That's what Shaq did. I think they did it a couple of years ago where
the thing about Shaq is he's also a jokester. That's his personality. Mm-hmm. And you see it in those Gold Bond commercials where he's doing his little shoulder shimmy and stuff like that. You see it in the jokes that he puts out, not necessarily in the movie Kazam, but like the movie Kazam, which was a massive joke. And you see,
right.
you see that type of stuff And so you know he's just trying to make a joke, but at the same time, look, would dunks make women's basketball more interesting? Absolutely. I was at a Midnight Madness thing for Michigan State. They do the women's stuff first, even though it's not promoted like that. People weren't lining up around the corner to get Alyssa DeHaan's autograph. You know, they were lining up around the corner for Drew Neitzel's. And I was at this, and, you know, there was a, you know, the guys put on a dunking exhibition. Marquise Gray, sorry to bring up the bad memories for us.
Yes.
As he beat us in the Final Four in high school, but.
Yeah, memory.
But Marquise Gray and those guys are doing like a dunking exhibition. You know, like a little dunk contest, 360s between legs, just basics, not basic, but just stuff like that. And then Alyssa DeHaan goes out there and she gets a running start from the 3-point line. She's 6'10", I want to say, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And she gets a running start from the 3-point line and tries to dunk it, and she sprites it. And then she does it again, and she misses again. Then she does it again, and she misses again. She's 6'10", and could not dunk on a hoop. Like, yeah, dunks make the game more exciting. And so, look, Shaq, for all the jokes and the wisecracks and everything else that he puts out, I mean, I'm not supporting it, but I'm saying that would maybe draw viewership because, as opposed to having, what, three people in the league who can dunk.
Yeah, it gets tricky, man. You know, and this is what I want to say, and we'll end on it. You know, the word equality is very important to me. It's important to all of us. It's important to you. The problem is there's just some things that, you know, when that conversation starts and the first initial thought is, how dare you tell us to lower our standard? We want to be like the men. That's usually what comes out of that. And that has to change also on the women's side, because you have to realize, okay, we can't do things the way the men do all the time. The men can't do things the way women do. You know, we can't do certain things like women do. They're much better than us in a lot of things. Much mm-hmm. better. Mm-hmm. And so the bottom line is, when we end on this and I say, okay, sponsorship might have to go a different route. And that's okay. There's a lot of people that have money. There's a lot of women's owned businesses that need to be the focal point and center of this. There's a lot of people that have daughters, yes, that have major corporations that say, I need to prove to my daughter that I'm willing to spend my money on women's sports. And those are the things, like Kobe was going to do it. He already had done it. And there's a lot of NBA players talking about it, but talk's cheap, man. Unless you're donating and sponsoring and funding certain things to grow the women's game, you know, your words don't mean anything. So, like, what I could do is I could share, comment, like more. I have the ability to do that. I don't have the ability to sponsor men's stuff. So I don't, you know, I can't sponsor men's or women's at this point. But I believe it's very important. Like, the overtime is a huge business online. You watch them, Tyler. I mean, they post about Mikey Williams all the time. They have overtime. So they promote women's very well. And they have people working for, you know, women's basketball. They're doing a great job. You remember there was a article about how they're using the young people and they're promoting them for their own benefit. Look, if nobody knows about them. So you have to do that. This is the world we live in. I mean, this is diving into the next topic, because look, NCAA has an issue because they're going to have this like image thing talked about all the time. Women, because it's stuff. You have to go your own. To Tyler off air, said Mikey Williams, Lamar, these guys are making money already before they get into college or pro sports. So those type of platforms, you know, they're going to have to put money into women's basketball. And the bottom line is, look, NC not going to pay play. It's going to happen. Pay a certain amount of money. And if it happens, it's not going to happen soon. I got news for it. I think that it's right around the corner. It's just not going to happen. That's it's not their mentality. That's what, there's millions of people like me who never think about getting paid to college basketball. So they're never going to lose. There's people and never thought about getting paid for it. There's people better than never think about getting paid. There's a small percentage, not even one, like a tiny amount of people. in the world that believe they deserve playing amateur basketball because it's amateur. They were dead. So it's not going to happen. So it kind of with women's sport, you're not going to sponsorship money from certain, ain't going to happen. So you know what you do? With you, we're going a different route. Reach out to people that give a damn, that give us money, they're going to sponsor certain things. It's going to grow. We might have tricks coming out with TV outlets. I mean, whatever it is, you got to do whatever it takes. But I want to dive into this NCAA lightness thing, Tyler, because I don't know that. I changed my tune, you know that. Not good if they pay players. I used to think it was great. I think it's a terrible thing now because I think it's not feasible. I mean, do you have any input on this before you go? Because I just think that I've got a lot of people I've talked to about this. And, you know, I just don't think it's not doable. It's not doable to do it.
I think it's complicated to do it. I'm not going to say it's impossible to do it. I think there's certain situations, you know, well, let's talk about him because we've talked about him on the show. We're going to talk about him over, you know, the next few weeks, maybe the summer on Trouble with the Snap. Amone Bates. Amone Bates, if he comes to Michigan State, he's not automatically signed by Nike. But mm-hmm. He can do autograph signings. You know, I've paid $35 for a Cassius Winston ball, you know. I know
right. There's
a... Or for Cassius Winston's signature, I paid for the ball separate. You know, I paid $35 for that. You know, there's those types of things, jerseys and stuff like that, that would come with. And ultimately, this kind of goes back to the women's thing as well, because women aren't fighting over a name, image, likeness because they're not being promoted. You know, like I said, it's a local promotion thing first. So I just want to touch on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the difference is how do you differentiate, you know, Amone Bates and let's say, trying to think of Foster Lawyer.
Right. That'd be me.
How do you differentiate between the two? You know, with you, how do you differentiate between a Jeremy File and the Mike Williams? Yes, no.
He's much better. Michigan. He's much better and worth more money.
Right. So how do you differentiate? How many jerseys of each player is going to be in the store? How much do you pay for the jersey sales for each player? How much do you promote them? Like, you know, back in 2001, Michigan State had a... Or it was 2002. Michigan State had two massive banners outside of Spartan Stadium where there's smoke, there's fire. In reference to Jeff mm-hmm. Smoker and Charles Rogers. How do you pay them for that, but then you have other studs like TJ Duckett on the same team? You know, and so how you differentiate between all of that, I think, is going to be the most complicated issue.
And certainly.
And I think it's up to the school to figure that out. And then coaches use that part as the recruiting tool, ultimately. You know, if you're, LSU, for example. If you're LSU, how are you going to differentiate the offer that you already made to Javonte Smart? As opposed to any other NIL stuff that could be coming out. And that, I mean, those are the questions that you ultimately really need to answer. And does what you already paid Javonte Smart, does that decrease when the name, image, and likeness stuff comes out? Would this be a way for the NCAA to kind of put their foot down without actually putting their foot down and making it sound like you're benefiting the players? Because ultimately that's all they say they do, even though they make plenty of money off of them. Is this like the NCAA putting their foot down saying, you know, it will allow you to get paid for your name, image, likeness. And, you know, you get paid when your names are on covers of local magazines and stuff like that. You can go ahead and you can get paid for all that type of stuff. And then,
yep.
At the same time, thinking, okay, well, if they're already getting paid, they're not going to go to a school like LSU to actually get paid to play basketball.
Yeah, they are. oh my God. But I'm not going to touch upon that. Let me just, this one to end on, and Tyler, I'll let you get some more words. This has been great. This has been a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to, and hopefully we can get some feedback, and hopefully it's positive, because that's the goal of this. But this is what I want to end on. So I had a conversation with a guy that I played, he played baseball at Western Michigan while I played basketball, and he is a part of Fox Sports in the West Coast and that region. He lives in California. And remember, just recently, before COVID, the whole thing was is the West Coast was trying to, you know, start this new thing where, you know, California they want their only. Players to get paid. Yeah, California only. He made a great statement to me. And he said, basically, everyone at Fox Sports was like, we're screwed. Because while they're screwed is, this is why. Because, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, all those corporate sponsors are going to go, kiss my ass. I'm not going to give Fox Sports no more money. Because guess why? Because look at what you guys have. You have nothing I want to spend money on. You don't. Now you have a Pac-12 or whatever it is, having their own separate entities and guys making their own money. Because let me just tell people this. Tyler was a, you know, this isn't a knock on you, Tyler, by the way. You're a regular student, technically, right? Paying for your own way.
Yeah,
going to school, paying your own bills. Yeah, paying too much, paying your tuition. And you're not getting a $2,000 check to pay your bills. Right. While you're going to school, you're paying your tuition. Every single person, $8.25
an hour at the radio station, though.
That's right. I mean, look, you're working, and as a college athlete, you're working, but guess what? You're getting school paid for. Like, I get that side. That's why I'm this gray area person. I get the average student goes, what the hell? You know, like, why? Well, they get so much. Like, and that's the amateurism thing. It is amateurism. Like, you're going to school, you're working out. It's a grind. It's hard. Being a Division I athlete, yes, it's a meat market. But yes, you get your school paid for typically. And yes, you get some perks. And yes, by the way, you do get money to pay for your bills because you don't have time to work. That's what happens in NCAA Division I sports. And at the lower levels, you usually, you know, might not get as much money, but you have more time. It's not as competitive. That's just how it works. The bottom line is this. This is a bottom line with all this. Corporate sponsorship, most of those people that run those things were average students like you, Tyler, or people that didn't play sports. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So the moment you sit here and go, man, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that, they're thinking, I'm giving all my millions to this? And you think that for a second that they're going to go and spend even more of their money to women's basketball? It's just not going to happen. That's why women's basketball has got to find new sponsorship that is solely focused on women's sports. And it's not a bad thing. And it's not, has nothing to do with, that's not inequality. That is, we got to find ways to help our young women. And I just think that's where we got to be with this, Tyler. But I'm telling you right now, things are going to get worse before they get better if we continue to fight and fight and fight, because there's a lot of things the NCAA does a great job of. There's some things I don't like at all. But it's still a great opportunity for our young men and women. And I'll tell you something right now. Corporate dollar runs this thing. It runs it. And we need every corporate dollar, because guess what? People aren't talking about this. We lost a ton because there was no fans. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want. Yeah, everybody's watching it. There's tons of viewership, and that's millions of dollars too. But guess what? The fans.